Welcome to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Each week on this program, Jeff and his guests share their expertise, personal anecdotes, and the latest industry news to keep you in the loop. Now, to provide you with insight and help you navigate the consistently changing world of real estate lending, here is your host for The Mortgage Voice, Jeff Barton.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show, listening. And if you do each and every week, we really appreciate that. Cumulative information that we give out on a weekly basis really makes a difference if you're in the market for a mortgage right now. If you want to find out some information about programs, about processes, about different ways by which you can attack the same problem, this is a place to do it. But it takes a while before you get every bit of information that you need. Now, some weeks we will interview some loan officers. Most weeks we have account executives, which are the people that work for the different banks, lenders around, that can give you the product, the program that you're going to need to either close that loan in a very timely fashion if you need it for a purchase, or will give you the maximum at the cheapest if you're trying to cash out refi, or if you just want the lowest rate on a rate and term. Now, all these terms, what they mean and how they mean, that's what we talk about right here on the show. We also get into some aesthetics. We get into escrow and title, and just a number of different things that will help you when your decision-making process is in process for either the purchase or the refinance for the home of your dreams, or maybe you're scaling down. You know, there's all kinds of reasons. The real estate market is a fluid thing, because real estate itself, based on prices, based on availability, based on styles, based on the time of life you're in, is constantly evolving and changing. One note to all that is I saw in the, where was it? It was in Housing Wire this week. Maybe it was today. 6 million houses since 2001 we are underbuilt, meaning they should have been building since 2001 an additional 6 million houses, which is why we're in the shortage we're in today. Do I think that's true? Yes, I do. And do I think it's also true that because of that fact that they haven't been building houses, that local towns and cities are absolutely responsible for the rising home prices? Rising home prices are good if you're the county tax collector, because, yes, your city's broke because they're so mismanaged. Anybody who's out there who doesn't understand that is not really looking at what's going on in the city budgets. Every city planning office, every city manager is constantly in the need of money to fund whatever pet projects they are dealing with. But because shooting yourself in the foot by not allowing housing to be built has really caused a, you know, this two-edged sword. We don't have enough money, but we're going to prevent the money source from happening. Drives real estate prices up, and the only people that can afford it are people who really aren't from that area. They move in, and then they don't want other people to move in. It's a sickle cycle, meaning that if you get in this particular cycle, you have less of a tax base to base your particular needs in a city, in a municipality, in a county, in a state. And 6 million houses is 6 million houses. So, yes, I think that that's an issue. I think we've talked about it enough. And if you're in one of those cities and you're trying to build something, I talked to a friend of mine the other day, and he was in, he's building in a couple of different places, and how they're doing it and what they're doing it. Okay. Very difficult, because the city itself wants a number of things before you can even begin. So shovel in the ground, what they call shovel in the ground, meaning I'm ready, I've got my permit, and I'm going to start building, is instead of, you know, 6-8 months away, is now a couple of years away. Now, what's the market going to be like then? They're building to sell. I just went to Detroit. Now, I call it Detroit. I'm sure the locals don't call it that. But I was, what do they call it, Daryl?
I believe it's Detroit.
Detroit, yes. Yeah. It's like defense in football. What do they call that?
Defense.
Defense, right, exactly. Let's talk intelligently about words that should be pronounced a certain way. Now, obviously, I'm emphasizing the fact that, in a silly way, that how you talk about a certain place in a certain area really matters. Well, it does to the locals. I was talking recently at this event I went to in Detroit, and I was talking about Zion. Now, you know where Zion is, don't you, Daryl?
It's in Utah.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Now, but they don't pronounce it Zion.
Zion.
Zion. Yeah, yes. Zion. Thank you. Oh, so you knew. Yeah. Okay. I'll just go to Daryl.
Just call me up.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. So in this discussion with these people who I met in Detroit, it was through a very large real estate, mortgage company. And we were there as a sort of a thank you, but also as a feedback to the technology that they're developing. The interesting part of that particular event was when you have a number of people who are rowing in the same direction, you can really create a lot of myth behind who you are and what you are. For me, trying to be transparent in many, many respects of the lending business, on the radio show in particular, I work for a company, Malibu Funding. They sponsor the show, 79620. That's their NMLS number. And that particular company is what we make it to be because we are who we are. We don't try to be something and then have everybody adhere to what that is. In this particular company's approach, the company I went to Detroit to see, to be thanked, and to work with on their technology end, they wanted to present themselves as a certain type of company when it was obvious from the start that they were nowhere near that type of company. Now, the company that they were, that was obvious who they were, it's not a bad company. There are a lot of tech companies out there that turn to other areas of real estate or mortgages to try to earn a living. I have no problem with any of that. But when you're presenting yourself as a certain way to borrowers, either through your advertising or through how you talk to them over the phone or however you're receiving information from them and working on their loan application, you try to be who you say you are. And if you're not, what happens? So there's a couple of ways by which loans are done at different companies. Some of the companies have you do a lot of the footwork, i.e. bring them the documentation which they input into the loan application, and it spits out a particular yes or no. And based on that answer, you have additional documentation you can send in. In non-qualified mortgages, that's very hard to do because it's an individualized loan. Now, non-qualified mortgages and where we're going with non-qualified mortgages in the coming months, in the coming years, I'm sure you've heard and I'm sure you're aware of, the Fed is considering tapering. What is tapering? It's the reduction of purchase of mortgage-backed securities and treasuries. Now, why is that important? Because that particular $120 billion a month that the Fed is spending is artificially keeping the rates below 3% and has been doing so since the pandemic. They used to call it quantitative easing. Quantitative easing today is called whatever it's called. But that's what it is. They're spending money to keep the rates low, and as a result, is causing a lot of people to get worried about inflation. Inflation's another whole argument, and it's a right or left argument. If you're a Heritage Foundation person, if you're a Hoover Foundation person, you're going to think that that's bad and laissez-faire economy is much better and rates should be higher in order to kill inflation. Inflation is the bane of anybody who has physical assets because that simply means that what was worth something is worth less. Because you're going to have to pay more, but the more really is less because the money is just being printed. That's what's called inflation. So your bread today is $2.50 a loaf rather than $2 a loaf. It's the same bread, but the money's cheaper. So it's not worth as much. And that's an issue when it comes to real estate, and it's an issue when it comes to anybody who's in the real estate and mortgage businesses, because when you have inflation, if I have a 30-year mortgage and I'm paying 30 years mortgage based on the inflation rate, I'm actually paying, well, right now, 5.25% less next year than I'm paying this year because the money's worth less. You don't have to come up with the extra money. No. So as a friend of mine said recently, and she's a broker out in Nevada, she said, I am going to leverage everything I have and borrow as much money as I can because inflation is telling me I'm going to have to pay it back in a less amount of money a year, 2 years, 5 years down the line. All of this is interesting as we look towards both the future of housing, building more housing, and the future of the loan business, how loans will be done, and how that particular bill will be paid once the Fed stops spending mortgage-backed security money and treasury money at $120 billion a month. That's coming. It's going to come this year or early next year. And as we've seen the economy really picking up steam, inflation is also a little bit less, and I'll get to it in the next segment. But appreciate you listening to the show. Hopefully, some of the information that you hear maybe not affect directly your decision of what to do, buy and sell, but it does give you some perspective as to what's happening in the marketplace, which I always think more power is, you know, more knowledge. More knowledge is really what you need to do when you're getting into a very large purchase or sale. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. You can hear our show. We're on 5 stations in 3 different states from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I want to say hi to the people down there. They've been very loyal. I appreciate the comments and the responses that we've been getting to. We have a mortgage broker and a real estate broker down there who give us updates every, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. We're up to Lake Tahoe in Central California, up at Cay Tahoe. We're in K-Ship in Las Vegas, Nevada, and a couple of great stations in Southern California, in the Inland Empire, KMET and KCAA. Really appreciate everybody who is listening in those areas. We got some statistics about what's happening in Southern California. We see an uptick of 4,000 or 5,000 listeners per month, so I really appreciate that. The information is obviously valuable. The prices on real estate, everybody knows, are way too high. There's not enough houses. But fortunately, we have had yet again another low in mortgage rates. It's kind of up today. Let's get right to the rates. 30-year fixed rate loan is at 2.96%. These are averages on a national basis. The 15-year is at 2.41. The FHA loan is at 2.69, and the jumbo loan is at 3.12. The 5/1 ARM is at 2.50%. All of these were really good this week, today, in specifically. And if you're looking at the 10-year yield, it's at 1.3674. Now, that yield is really, in a normal time, what you look at if you're looking to see where the rates are going. But as we talked in an earlier segment, rates have really been determined because the Fed is, you know, artificially keeping the rates low by buying mortgage-backed securities at $40 billion a month, and they're buying treasuries at $80 billion a month. Now, the markets, what are they doing when they're figuring on taper? The real estate market really won't change if we get the tapering, those purchases, if they stop. If they stop going from $120 billion a month to $80 million to $40 billion, that's what they call tapering, you know, moving it lower and lower and lower. What will happen to the real estate market is eventually what they're anticipating is that fewer and fewer people will be able to afford it because the rates have gone up so much and the prices are still high that essentially at one point prices will start falling and there'll be more real estate on the market. Thus, there'll be more of a opportunity for people to get into the market as a result of higher interest rates, and that's really what they're thinking. And I can't really argue with that. That's a supply and demand issue, and everybody knows that the more supply you have and the less demand, obviously prices have to fall, and just the reverse is true. Let's get to a couple other things before we get into the segment. Lumber prices, we talked about it last year. Really, you know, they were up to $1,700 a square foot of lumber yard, I don't know what the actual term is. Actually, I do know what it is. I just can't come up with it right now. But it's now fallen quite significantly. So lumber prices across the U.S. are down. Actually, all building materials are down. Cement, nails, shingles. The problem is you can't find crews to work on your property. So if you're like me and get calls from many, many different people trying to rehab your property or build out, you know, there are rooms and rooms of people all over the country from local businesses who do this kind of rehab work that are calling. But the crews to do the work are few and far between. So if you are looking to, you know, do that kind of work, shop around, try to get somebody who not only has the best price, but also has the crews to do the job, because you can sign a contract and they won't even begin the work for 6 to 8 months, and that's not helping anybody. All right, also, 28% think it's a good time to buy. Only 28% of the people nationally who are in the market to buy something think it's a real good time to buy. Well, we have historic low mortgage rates. Usually that's a great time to buy. But if you've got real estate prices, and I talked to somebody the other day, Menifee. Anybody know where Menifee, California is? You know where that is, Daryl?
I thought it was Nevada, so no.
No, it's down in near Temecula, California.
Oh, that Menifee. Now that you put it that way.
Now, Temecula's a beautiful town. Been down there, done some racing down there, road racing, meaning running road racing anyway. But Menifee, California is in that area, south of Riverside and in near Temecula. She was telling me that in that area, even in that area, buying something at $500,000 is a common occurrence. Now you're thinking, okay, if you're thinking like some people, where is Menifee? Then you know what I'm talking about. There are places all over California, let's just talk California here for a second, that prices have really escalated to such a point that if we get rising real estate mortgage rates, there is no chance that somebody's going to be able to afford that. That's what's happening in California. That's what's happening in South Carolina. That's what's happening in Indiana. I had a request to do a loan in Indiana just the other day. I said, no, I don't do the loan. What's the value of the house? Because in my mind, historically, that's a state that real estate prices are really $100,000, $200,000. They were saying $350,000. I go, what? When did that happen? No, it's happened. So all over America, prices on real estate are absolutely through the roof. Let's talk inflation a little bit. Inflation is up 0.5% month to month from where it was in June. Used car prices are down. New car prices are up. Transportation is down. Food is up 0.1%. Overall inflation is still up, but not as much as it was the month before. Inflation itself, as we talked in an earlier segment, it's great if you owe money, because the money you're going to pay back is based on what you borrowed and what the money was worth when you borrowed it, not what the money is worth when you pay off the debt. So you're paying less, actually, if you have high inflation. And that, as I said before, is what my friend was saying. You know what? I'm going to leverage myself to death. And that's what she did. Gosh, I hope she knows what she's doing. I personally can't do it. Can you do it?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No, I just get nervous and I need to have money in the bank. I need to have, you know, some kind of security in my house, all of that. Okay, so let's get into what I want to get into. What are we? I only got 3 minutes left. All right. So several of the large companies like Zillow, Trujillo, Compass, and now Rocket are into mortgages. I mean, obviously into mortgages. They're into real estate. They want to build a real estate arm for their companies. Is that good for you? Is that good for America? Is that good for the marketplace? Now, there have been many attempts by large companies to get into real estate. Real estate is, by and large, a local business. It is not a national business. It is not a business where you can say, I've got this amount of inventory, because you don't. It's up to your local agents who go out and get listings. How do you nationalize a policy whereby you can get localized listings? It's been very, very hard. Most real estate companies have tried to do it, like Rocket or like Zillow or like Trujillo or like Compass, by either value adding or discounting their commissions. Now that attracts some people because, for the most part, nobody knows what real estate agents actually do to earn the money of 2.5% per side. It's usually about 5% total commissions. So the new entry into it, Rocket, is trying to discount their particular services to have an online agent handle the transaction. Oh, anybody who's bought a house who works with a person like this is going to want to know, from the localized knowledge that they have or don't have, what's the best school? What times does the sun go down in August, because I want to orient my pool that I'm putting in a certain way? Now, you can't know that if you're online as an agent. The only way you can know that is if you, you know, live in the neighborhood. That's why real estate has been the hardest thing to commoditize, homogenize, and come to a national format to be able to sell real estate. We'll see what happens with Rocket. I'm not quite sure, but again, we'll have to see. Maybe they'll be like every other real estate company and have a small part of their business as that. But most of their business will come from the mortgages that they hand out. And by the way, they're a great company to work for. I've worked with them and for them for a number of years and really like the relationship. They have great rates, and that's through the mortgage broker community. I don't know their retail side because I just never worked with that. Anyway, I appreciate you listening. It's been great. I'm going to get into one more topic, but not this segment, where we talk a little about the economy and what's happening overall when it comes to unemployment and other such things to affect payments and the ability to repay. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right. No? Yes, we will. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning into the show each and every week. If you want to talk to me, if you want to hear me, you can go to YouTube. I've got a bunch of different ways that you can not only like the show, but you can contact me. And that's Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice. I've got a channel, probably have 200-300 different shows on there. Each week we put the segments of the show up. We also have a website. It's Jeff Barton, the Mortgage Voice. That's all new. If you go to podclips.io, that's also new, a great place where we house not only the show, but there's a whole bunch of different podcasts there. And it's like a channel where they have probably 30 different ways by which you can listen to different kinds of podcasts, health, sports, lifestyle, and finance, and that's where you'll find us. We're also on a number of different podcasts. Daryl, where are those podcasts?
They are all over the place. They are at Apple Podcasts, Google Music Play, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, Radio.com, YouTube, and as you had mentioned, podclips.io.
Excellent. Also, we're on 5 radio stations in 3 different states, from Albuquerque to Las Vegas up to the Inland Empire in Southern California, San Bernardino and Riverside, and what's the other place we're in? Tahoe, right?
K-Tahoe,
yeah. Of course. How could I forget that one? But thank you again for listening, bringing you good people who know more stuff than I do. Another person that's been on the show several times that can talk to us about what's going on in the loan business is Brenda Scott from Malibu Funding. Brenda, how are you?
I am great, Jeff. How you doing?
You know, I'm okay. Thank you very much. I was sick last week, got a little bit of a cold, summer cold. And, of course, if you cough around anybody right now, they just run for the hills. So I've been triple masked. I had my, hockey mask on, so they think I'm Jason or whatever that person is. Anyway, so
you can't cough because it's COVID. You cough.
Oh, forget it. You can't have a cold nowadays. You might as well stay home. People are just going to shed you.
You're automatically going to die if you get a cold.
Oh, my. It's been terrible. But, I've been back really at the office for a couple of weeks. It got me down for really a solid week.
I heard you. You didn't sound very well at all.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, I don't know how I sound today, but at least I'm up, I'm prone, and
well, you sound great today.
Oh, excellent. Today. Well, thank you.
Let's do it. Let's
okay.
do it. Let everybody know how great Malibu Funding is.
Excellent. Perfect. I love that. Tell us about what kind of loans are popular right now and how you're helping your clients get into that purchase property.
Well, I tell you, Jeff, I have a good lender that we're doing purchases on, and the required FICO score is 520.
520. Really?
520, and you can get, it's obviously FHA.
Yep.
But we also have that SHFA loan. A lot of people are beginning to use it a lot more than we have, where it's allowing borrowers to get in a home with 100% financing.
And this is the CalHFA you're talking about?
Yes, this is the CalHFA where they will finance the down payment and they will finance the closing costs.
Okay, that's excellent. Now, when you say you're getting these people, getting people excited about it, 520 FICO score, what are the other requirements and what's the rate?
Rates might be just a tad bit high, but you still can get 3.5, 3.7.
What's wrong with that?
Doggone good rate.
Oh, heck yeah, it is. I mean, you pencil that out, that'll work.
Very, very good rate, yeah.
Okay, and are these on purchases or cash out refis? What are they on?
These on purchases. I'm doing these on purchases.
Wow.
But we can also do refinance cash out, too. But, obviously FHA has a max cash out that you can get, but you can still get the cash out.
No, that's excellent. Okay, and so on purchases, let's talk purchases. We see the inventory up a little bit, but I'm not quite sure that, you know, that is the, you know, it's just not enough in order to solve what's happening, which is you have multiple people looking at the same house, looking to buy the same house, multiple offers. How are you helping your borrowers, like, get beyond that? What kind of I guess, pre-approval
are
you giving
now,
them?
The borrowers are going further out. They're going to San Bernardino, Rialto, Fontana, there's a couple of they're going more inland now, and
right.
When you go out that far, you do have the option to, you know, put in a good, decent offer and not have to put 20 offers in at one time.
So
there are homes available in those areas.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of homes. If you go up the 15 corridor, whether it's Hemet or Hesperia or some of the other places out in that area.
Hemet and Santecito.
Yeah.
They're all doing extremely well right now. The values out there is not as high as the values more toward, you know, the Los Angeles, Orange County areas. But you can still buy a house instead of renting. If you're paying $2,200 to rent, you need to buy a house.
That's interesting you say that, because a lot of people who are renting are paying way more than they would pay if they had a mortgage for a house. But the problem has always been the down payment. But you're saying that with this company, with the CalHAFA program, now this is, of course, for Southern California or California in general. It's not for, let's say, in New Mexico or Nevada, where we've got the show also. But there are programs all over like that. But that's how we get people into a property who might not necessarily be able to afford a down payment, is to find programs like that. And certainly with FHA at 3.5% down normally, it's still the way to go.
Even on a conventional, you have a 90 conventional, you know, you can buy out that MI, and that MI is really, you know, that's an additional $200-$300 a month. You can buy that whole premium out and not even have to pay that MI.
Explain that.
It's a lot of creative. Well, we have one right now in the system, and hopefully we're going to be docking it pretty soon. It's a 90%, and the rate is good. The rate, I think, is 2.25.
Right.
And he is buying out his MI. So let's say the MI, I'm just giving you a number, is $5,800. So along with the lender credit, because the lender will give us the credit because of our relationship with that lender, they will give us the credit. So maybe the client may have to come out of his pocket, maybe $1,200. But that whole MI premium is paid for upfront. So you only have your PITI when you're making your mortgage payment. You don't have MI insurance anymore. So we can't do anything with MI insurance on FHA loan. This is strictly a conventional loan.
I see. Okay. So, and MI, of course, is anything below 80%, right? I mean, if it's...
Right. So even if you want to refinance, and this gentleman is refinancing, and he was initially coming out with about $60,000. So we redid everything, got an updated appraisal on it, and what was $60,000 is now $14,000, and he's buying out that MI insurance at $5,800. It's an excellent deal for him, excellent.
That's an
excellent, right. Saves him $320 a month.
Oh, yeah, that's a big deal. That's a big deal on any loan, let alone, you know.
Yeah, because the loan amount is like 560. So the higher your loan amount is, you know, the higher your MI is going to be.
Tell me where we're heading in the marketplace.
Oh, Lord, you really want me to tell you that? I think I think it's going to pop again, Jeff.
Meaning? You mean the rates go up, or meaning what?
I think the industry, I think the real estate, I think this whole market is going to be reshifted probably in about maybe 2 years. I mean, we still got 2 years, and interest rates are still extremely, extremely good.
I agree with that.
FHA rates are extremely good right now, so everything is good now. So get in now.
Well, that I agree with you.
Good rate.
I agree with you. I just...
Yes.
you know, I look at where we are in terms of both the housing product of the availability, the way the interest rates, the way the interest rates have really been propped up by the Fed buying mortgage-backed securities and bonds. What happens if inflation? I just look at a lot of things affecting rates. I can't see the rates staying like this forever, especially if they go into a taper. Oh, but you know,
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. And the one thing I do want to let listeners know: before we couldn't submit a loan for an approval if you didn't have a property. But now lenders are allowing us to go in and submit that loan and do a to-be-determined on buying that property. So you get a full-on approval. So when I tell you you are approved for a $500,000 purchase price, we got it in writing because we got an approval already.
Right, and that's excellent. Hey, Brenda, we're up against the clock. You want to shout out a phone number for people to get in touch with you?
Hey, yes, please. Brenda Scott, please call me at 562-500-2400. And I will be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank
you, Brenda. Thanks very much for coming on the show. That's Brenda Scott from Malibu Funding. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for listening to the show, for tuning in each and every week. We try to bring you up-to-date information on mortgages, on mortgage interest rates, on why things are, how they are, what they do, and where they're going to go. Now, we're not going to stay where Karnak the Magnificent. And for anybody that's never watched Johnny Carson, you wouldn't have a clue as to what I was talking about. However, the people that we bring on the show, they have a much better idea of what's going on. And the first guest today, Maria Schroeder from Quantic Bank, is going to come on and tell us a little bit about what's going on there and some of the programs. Maria, how are you?
Good. How are you, Jeff? Thank you for having me on your show.
Thanks very much for coming on. I do appreciate it. And, you know, we have had a number of different calls on both your particular segments and other people that come on the show because I think there's a lot of interest out there for what loan products are available and what those loan products can offer certain borrowers that might not be able to get a particular type of loan from a different lender. Give us an idea of how you're helping in that way.
Well, with Quantic Bank, our focus is to serve the underbanked, especially in light of restrictions created by Dodd-Frank and some regulations. And our focus is lending to people with low income but high worth or, you know, wealth, self-employed borrowers, immigrants, and entrepreneurs that have, you know, they exercise their advantages of taking write-offs. And maybe what they report to the IRS isn't really their true income. And so with Quantic programs, we can design programs that makes it easier for them to qualify with less encumbersome documentation requirements such as, you know, the Fannie Mae's guidelines have out there. And so we're definitely an option. So some of these borrowers get turned down at traditional banks, and they can come to you, and you can bring them to us. And our, you know, brokers or Consumers Direct can come to Quantic Bank and take advantage of our programs. And so they could either get cash out to do home improvements or do business opportunities or buy their new dream home.
Now, one of the reasons or the reason you can do that is because you're a bank and you're not necessarily subject to all the Dodd-Frank rules because you keep a lot of these loans in-house. Isn't that right?
Yes, we are a portfolio lender.
Right.
Ultimately, we do eventually securitize them. But the reason that we're allowed to do this legally is that we have our special designation. It's our CDFI, which is a Community Development Financial Institute that is given to us by the Federal Treasury. And I think 27% of the banks have that nationwide, and we've had ours for about 8 to 9 years now.
Well, that's good. Obviously, serving people who, you said, maybe not wanting to report completely to the IRS, I think it's a matter of how the business is set up, how their personal finances are set up, and that it's less complicated to go to you guys than necessarily use their tax returns or some other means to qualify. How do they qualify?
They either qualified with a profit and loss for the self-employed borrowers, or we have a no-ratio program. So if the borrower has enough equity in their home or the required down payment with the credit score that we require, the minimum credit scores, they can get a loan with us.
Tell me what is the give me a what's the best product? What's the most popular product? I guess what I'm trying to say. Give us an idea.
My most popular program probably is our Light Dock because we are less encumbersome than most traditional and non-traditional lenders out there, where you don't need to provide us with 24 months of bank statements, business or personal, and we will look at it with a profit and loss.
Okay, and
that is created by their own bookkeeper or themselves if they're a sole proprietor.
Okay, so it's not a an accountant driven. It's could be from QuickBooks or Quicken or whatever it is.
Correct.
That they might use.
Yes.
I see.
Yes.
And now, minimum FICO, you talked about that. What do you guys look at? 620, 640, higher?
We actually looked for 680.
Okay, 680. And most borrowers, well, at least for us in our company, we see most borrowers, I think the average credit score is almost 700. What are you seeing in your average credit score from the loans you do?
700 to 720 is probably the sweet spot for us.
Right, right. And then that obviously spells for a good thing going forward in terms of them paying the loans. I don't know how many forbearance loans that you all have been involved with, or do you know that? I'm guessing there are some.
I know that when we did our statistics, especially coming out of the pandemic and going through the pandemic, our executive has told us that none of our books of people, I think that have none of, they were very self-guarded because, we require our types of borrowers that are coming to us are very solid. So, I don't think any of our
that's a good
people did forbearances. But if there has been people who, took advantage of forbearances, we just want to make sure that they're completely out of it and on track before they can come back, come to us to apply for a loan.
Okay, and let's talk rates a little bit. What is the spread on the rate that you'll get for somebody who's, let's say, got a 720 FICO score and is using one of your either bank statement programs or your P&L statement?
We're doing it at a 30-year fix,
mm-hmm.
and at like 5.5%
mm-hmm.
to about 6%. We do offer interest only. You have to keep in mind these loan documents and these programs are very minimum and requirements and loan income documents, and so
right.
there was these before Quanta came around and offered this to the masses. These people were going to private lenders,
right? Hard money private lenders, right? And the interest rates are 10%, sure,
9 to 12%,
right?
Rate. Yes.
That's right. No, I love this program because they're reasonable rates and they're able to be able to use and be used. What kind of loan to value are you looking for in all this?
75 to 80% is
that's good.
What I'm doing. But our average company wide with our portfolio is probably about 65.
Okay, and rate is affected by the amount of money in the deal, I assume, yes?
Correct.
Okay, and That's pretty good. What are you seeing in terms of how Quantic Bank is going to adapt to the changing ways the DTI is being looked at? Since you're a bank, I guess that doesn't really affect you as much because you're not selling to Fannie and Freddie.
Correct.
So
it's actually opening the floodgates for us.
Right. No, I'm sure. Right.
Yeah.
Now, from what I understand, when it becomes mandatory in about a year, we're going to be looking at a 3-year, where you have to keep loans on the books and then you can sell them to Fannie and Freddie. Have you heard about this?
No, because you know what? We do our special portfolio product.
I see.
We don't even offer the
any of those
traditional Fannie Mae. Yeah.
I see.
I don't. It's been a hot minute since I've got it. So
No, well, I think the reason I bring it up is because a lot of the industry is going to change. They're changing the way the DTI is affecting loans sold to Fannie and Freddie. They're actually doing away with it. They're coming up with a percentage based on how the loans are priced. And if you are below that particular price, those loans are available. But if you go into a higher price or into a rebuttable, those loans after 3 years can be also sold to Fannie and Freddie. So there's this whole new way by which loans will be looked at, and for obviously a lender like you who is already offering products like that on a portfolio basis, that's going to be a good thing. I mean, on the one hand, they're closing down some of the loans that are going to be offered, yet on the other hand, they're saying, okay, if you can find a bank that portfolios these, you can then sell them 3 years later. So it's almost, you know, it almost washes out if you can find that bank. But you hold all your old papers, so it's not going to matter to you guys.
Yes, we hold our paper and then we securitize them in mortgage-backed securities on Wall Street. So I think that in the future with the new changes, I can see Quantic probably coming up with new programs to kind of help out,
right,
you know, the people who are going to be affected that are going to need loans, right?
Right. No, I agree with you. And I don't think they've really, well, they've delayed it a year, right? It was supposed to start this July. But it's voluntary right now, becomes permanently that you have to do it, I think, in a year. Anyway, we are up against the clock. Maria, thanks very much for coming on to the show, talking to us about the great programs over at Quantic. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, always. So appreciated.
Thank you. Thanks, Maria. That's Maria Schroeder from Quantic Bank. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. We'll be right back with more in just a moment. For more information on today's topic, email Jeff Barton at info@malibufunding.net. Now, back to The Mortgage Voice with your host, Jeff Barton.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Thanks very much for tuning in to the show. Thanks very much for listening each and every week. You know, we're on a number of different podcasts where you can really listen at your leisure. Daryl, do you have a list of those for me?
I sure do, Jeff. It's Apple Podcasts, Google Music Place, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, iHeartMedia, of course, YouTube, and Podclips.com.
Podclips.io. Right, exactly. And that Podclips.io is great because if you go there, they have a number of different categories where you can find people who podcast specifically about that. I'm in the finance area. There's a couple other people in there, I'm sure, as well as, you know, lifestyle and health and sports and, you know, they probably have 10 or 15. Gathering of local podcast people in one place is a great place to start your podcast experience. And plus, we're on all those other major ones as well. If you want to see the show, go to YouTube. We film, shoot, and it's not film. What do we record?
We record. Yeah.
That's what they call it now. They don't, you know, this dates you, right? Because if you use words like record or film, they don't do any of that anymore.
Not really.
Not really, no. They just record it. It's all digitally done anyway. Go to YouTube, see what we do, see how we can you know, best serve your needs. We have how-to videos on there. We have different segments that we promote each and every week to try to give you information on smaller bits, smaller bite sizes, 10-minute. So that's what we are doing. And by the way, do we have some descriptions on those from?
Yeah, we sure do.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Perfect. So if you're looking for something, you can search for it on YouTube, and it should come up from what we're doing.
The Mortgage Voice and Podclips.io have the longest descriptions.
Oh, okay. Excellent. All right. So let's get into a little bit more of what I was talking about a little bit earlier on the show. Let's see. There's a push to try to have large mortgage companies get into different areas of the business. Some are already committed to the technological area, and so they're trying to expand into real estate. Some have yet to get into things like blockchain technology. Blockchain technology is not Bitcoin per se. It is the way by which records are kept and how they're kept localized and diffused. So it's very difficult to be able to change, manipulate, or place those particular files in danger of being lost or held for ransomware. I always thought that if you could do that and tokenize each and every bit of your information, it'd be kind of hard to, you know, have ransomware come in and or ransomware and attack your company. But I think there is a huge expense outlay, and I don't think it's really technology that most people believe in. However, there's a company out there right now, Homebridge, which is top 10 in terms of mortgage originations nationally on a yearly basis. They have partnered with a company called Figure. Figure is a blockchain technology company that is trying to drive the cost of your mortgage down, obviously passing some of that savings on to you. So it's interesting to see how the different technologies work and how the different technologies are trying to change the nature of the business itself. Technology is in its infancy. Let's face it. We all are very aware of Amazon. We're very aware of Google and some of the other large tech companies I mentioned a couple earlier in the show. I mean, Rocket Mortgage is really a technology company that does mortgages. I mean, a lot of what they do is innovative. United Wholesale is another company that's like that. Driving the cost and the time it takes for you to get a loan down. Obviously, if you have 30 days and you can get it done in 2 weeks, that's saving you 2 weeks' worth of interest on a loan. So that's a good thing. All of this technology, my opinion, is in its infancy because we don't yet have the seamless integration of information across all particular areas of your life. Now, each individual has a number of different areas of their financial life, which could be really put together simply and easily. However, I talk not to a dinosaur, but to someone who is pretty savvy with money. And he owns a building here in and I live in the Los Angeles area. He owns a building in the Los Angeles area, and he was trying to get a loan on the building. He came to me, and he asked me a couple of questions, and he was not happy about having to give his financial information in order to get a loan. He said, look, it's a commercial building. Why do I have to do this? And I said, well, you know, and I began to think about it. You know, after I gave him a simple stock answer, and he went away unhappy, I thought about it, and I said, you know, it makes a lot of sense. Why should you have to give up your private information on every transaction that you have to do for real estate? And what happens to this information when it goes into the void and everybody's afraid of that void? I mean, you think the vaccine issue is the problem because they think the chip from, you know, what's his name? Bill Gates is in there, right? I mean, you hear stuff, and for me,
they're just going to scan you from now on.
I just see, right, exactly right. But it's the real vacuum of where your financial information goes and what is being done with it. Now, obviously, if you have a credit card and you're working, you know, through the computer and you buy stuff from Amazon or eBay or any number of these companies, and you also pay bills, use a credit card at the gas station, all the things you do electronically is housed somewhere. That memory of you personally is private information. But most of it is in the public sphere. Now, maybe your name's not associated with it, wink, wink, but the information itself is out there. And how that information is used has always become the desired product of any of these companies that wants to sell you stuff. And selling you stuff is the main point to getting profits, making them billionaires. That's why we've had this explosion in billionaires during COVID, because everybody is buying stuff online. Well, it's just not the transaction itself. It's the information that's given. So in a company like, you know, I mean, let's just come up with a company that's been ransomwared recently. Oh, I have one. It's a title company. There's a title company. I won't mention their name, and they are located in a number of states. I called them for some information based on a loan we did. We needed some information on insurance that was supposed to be paid, and the payment got lost, and we're trying to track down where the money is. So we called this particular title company. Ransomware hit them. 30 days without any of their information. I'm thinking, 30 days? How is this possible? That this information, but this is what's happening in the electronic void that all the information is going to. So when this person, this guy that I sent away unhappy with the information I gave him, asked me about why do I have to give up my personal information, and I told him the stock answer is, well, would you lend money to somebody who wouldn't tell you that information? And that, you know, that's always the, you know, but that's not really an answer. The answer is, yeah, if you had enough information that you could figure out whether you can get the loan repaid, the answer is yeah. So do you seek out companies that do those types of loans? Because they are out there and they are considered non-qualified mortgages. And that information that you want to keep private, you can. That information that you want to keep to yourself and only provide information that will get you the loan, you can. So the market is going to be split. And it's going to happen not because of the technology out there, but in spite of the technology out there, many, many people still want to have information about their finances private. If you're one of those people, you're looking for non-QM products. They're less apt to take the most documentation. If you want to sell a loan and get the lowest rate and go to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, whether it's with, you know, I've mentioned several companies here today, or the big box banks, Wells and Bank of America and Citibank, you are going to give them every bit of financial documentation information that you have about your entire life. And they're going to want to know it and ask you questions about it because, believe it or not, even though the Fed has been pumping money into the system, the way to get a loan has not been made easier. It's been made harder. They want to make sure you can repay that loan. That's why they need all that documentation. You want to go the other way, non-QM. And non-QM may charge you more in rate, and I'm saying maybe a quarter to a half. Is that really much more if you're going from 2.75 to 3% on a $300,000 loan? You figure out on a monthly basis, what is that, $25? So when you're considering loans and your privacy, these are the things you have to think about. I'm Jeff Barton, your voice in the mortgage industry. Really appreciate you listening to today's show, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to The Mortgage Voice with Jeff Barton. For more on today's topic, visit www.malibufunding.net.